Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And it was, curious how we start working together, because we met in Sofia with Nicola Zambelli and Fabio Ferrero are the names of these Italian filmmakers. And Fabio is more like a director, though. And they were, it was 2008. If I remember, 2007, 2008, and they were based in Sofia at that time because we're participating in this kind of like Erasmus exchange for academic students from one country to go to another one.
I think art is a form of expression for an artist. It is so personal, it's inspiring, thought-provoking. It's like a language in itself that can be interpreted in so many different ways and I believe can change lives. I am so in awe of all the artists that I have chatted with in this series, and I have personally learned and gained so much from each conversation. And I hope you do the same. So happy listening. Hi everyone. Today I am in conversation with Galina Dimitrova. Galina is talking to me from Sofia in Bulgaria. Galina is very, very experienced. She's a curator. She is an organizer of cultural projects. She is co-curator and organizer of the DARFest International Digital Art Festival since 2009. She's also the co-founder of DAR Lab Foundation, and she's currently working there as a curator and project coordinator. I am so happy to be talking to you today, Galina, and I can't wait for you to share this whole vast experience that you have and this wonderful journey in the world of being a curator as well as an organizer. So thank you once again for joining me today.
Hello, thank you for the invitation. I'm also very excited to be part of your podcast. When I actually started working, it was a really long time ago, more than 20 years ago. At that time, I was not very aware actually what curator means, because when I graduated, it was in 1999 from the National Art Academy in Sofia. I studied art history in theory department. And at that moment, the profession of the curator is not very popular in Bulgaria. And I remember a group of artists who founded one artistic association called Interspace in 98. They invited me in the summer of 99 to be a curator. I mean, to join the team as a curator. And I was really kind of surprised, and I was curious at that point what that mean. So that was my first encounter with with the curator's role and occupation.
So I'm going to stop you here, because I'm curious to know when you actually agreed to become a part of this art, group, and agreed to be a curator. What If you can remember, I know it was a long time ago, but because it was your first experience, it probably stayed with you. So if you can remember what, you went through, and then how did you eventually get an understanding of what it means to be a curator? So was it like on the job learning, or did you do something else?
I remember it actually very clearly, like it was yesterday. It was both, actually. It was both. Because most of the new understandings and skills that I gathered at that time was during my work with this collective, and thanks to maybe to the experience of my colleagues at that time. I mean, because some of them were more experienced than me because I was so young, and as I mentioned, my background was more theoretical and historical. I mean, like we didn't actually study contemporary art at that department at the time I was studying. Now it's not like this anymore. I mean, they had some really good contemporary art education, but at that moment it wasn't like this. So yeah, I had to learn from practice, as it is called. But there was also some initiatives, some trainings at that moment. They were organized by Soros Center for Contemporary Arts in Sofia, because I'm not sure if you know about this, but it was very important. The Soros Center role of the contemporary art scene and the contemporary culture as a general in Bulgaria at this time. It was late 90s and the first years of 2000s, because I mean, the transition period we were experiencing at that time, I mean, Bulgaria and also the rest of the countries that belong to the ex-socialist bloc, we had to somehow catch up, you know. I mean, to get to know some actual trends and approaches in the artistic scene that were not popular at that time
So
in
was it
our
at
context.
that time, was it like an underground movement almost with the art, with
There
the
were
contemporary
some,
art?
yes. Yeah, I mean, there was really a strong distinguish between the mainstream and these new art forms. We could call it underground, but they were more like this independent artistic group that appeared at that moment. I mean, there were the years, that was the years, I mean, that the first non-governmental organization, this NGO, appeared. I mean, Interspace also was part of this process. And therefore, the support from Soros Center and other institutions like this, I mean, private institutions that were based in the country at that time, were very crucial. Because the Ministry of Culture, for instance, were not really supportive in this moment, especially for these new artistic forms of, I mean, approaches, practices, let's say.
So when did the acceptance actually happen? Around what years was that? And so you clearly saw and you were a part of this transition, right? From it being a collective that was not really acknowledged to becoming mainstream. So, was it hard for this kind of recognition, or did it happen very organically? What was some of the sort of interesting changes that you observed and how?
Well, there were very interesting changes, yes, because I belong to this generation that somehow were part of this really providing the new trends and artistic practices to be accepted and acknowledged in our local cultural scene. But it was very difficult. It was very challenging. At the same time, it was very interesting, very exciting. I mean, these processes were so dynamic, and the scene was very viral. I mean, there
Vibrant.
were so many things, vibrant, of
Yeah,
course. Yeah, there
yeah.
were so many things going on, especially the first decade of 2000 years. A young generation of artists that appeared, and they were really eager to do what they find interesting and challenging for them. And there was another interesting point probably that I want to mention, that on one hand, I mean, there were all these as you mentioned, maybe underground also kind of events, but also a lot of events really presenting this new for our local context, new artistic practices and events and projects going on. And at the same time, more and more international recognition also we experienced, because at that time the Eastern Bloc was very interesting to the Western curators and art institutions, and we became quite interesting participants in their forums and projects. So we were quite well presented and welcome to their context. So many of us, I mean, for my generation, we were able to travel and to take part in international festivals, exhibitions, and other kind of forums. And this exchange was very important to us. I mean, that really helped us to learn and to see what's going on in international context, and somehow to bring it back
Bring
to
it
our
back.
country.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Interspace, this association I mentioned at the beginning, was a very good example for this, because it was specialized in digital arts and new media arts, as we call it at that time. Now it's just like media art. And it was interesting in this sense that we were not really recognized on the local art scene. Rather, we were more famous internationally. I mean, we were really active in lots of festivals abroad, and we
Okay,
also
so sorry, so Galina, I just want to interrupt you here. What was the local art scene at the time? What kind of art was it?
I would say that there were really mixture and eclectic of art that was happening at that time, really. I mean, lots of different styles or practices were at the same time presented, living like parallel. Because, it's getting more and more complex. It's difficult to answer in one sentence. Late 90s, it was really interesting because you could see really a lot of, let's say, painting, sculptures, or graphic art that was, in a way, yeah, maybe presenting some artistic trends or styles that were also I mean, they started appearing late or mid 80s, late 80s. And I mean, in 90s they somehow like, yeah, going on in this direction. At the same time, this new generation that I mentioned also brought some new and up-to-date art approaches and practices, let's say. So it was really like a strange mixture. I mean, something that maybe in a more global context was more like out of date, I guess. I mean, because for our local scene, we had to somehow, as I said, catch up. I mean, it took some time. I mean, something that was maybe up to date 1 or 2 decades before was at that time still kind of like
So,
presented, let's say.
if I'm hearing you correctly, it was like you artists could not really express themselves freely, and so the art was a reflection of the times rather than bringing in new kind of ideas and bringing in technology, because you mentioned that digital art was really what which is now media, really. That's what was really the focus of this new wave of artists that became a part of the art scene in Bulgaria. So it was probably that could be a comparison where, it was, they were not able to, there was no freedom of expression. And so there was like a.
Yes. But this statement actually is relevant to 80s, or I mean the years that Bulgaria was part of the socialist bloc, and it was communist
Yeah,
country. I
yeah,
mean,
yeah. Okay, so then the
but after
90s.
the
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Transition, which was in 89, and we got this big change that we had the freedom, but there were other circumstances that were not giving the how to say the equal
Opportunity.
start of the yes the to the artist, because it was very difficult economic situation. And as I said, more and more people in, let's say, late 90s, they start traveling, but the first years were very difficult. And so I would say maybe the things were really like somehow exploded in from the first decade of 21st century. Then more and more like active artistic life appeared, and lots of happenings going on.
Okay,
And
so
actually, it was the time I started my curatorial practice, first with Interspace, and later on, I was part of this collective and this organization 10 years. And it was a very important time of my life because that was the time I start really practicing this curatorial approach. But much maybe the bigger part of my work was also organizational, coordinational one, because as I mentioned, we didn't have support from the local institutions. And we had, I mean, we work on project basis, let's call it like this. I mean, we had to be very active and to have a lot of art projects that we funded separately from mostly from international funding programs or other kind of sources. And this is related with a lot of, you know, like coordination, organization, management, let's say, like fundraising and managing these projects, reporting them, etc. So yeah, that's another part of my job, because it's not just curatorial, it's also doing everything in once, just to make it happen.
Right. So who, I mean, you are a curator, but just for people who are listening into this conversation, who don't really, you know, understand the essence of who a curator is, could you just give a little background into what you would do or you do as a curator?
Right, I will try. Although it's kind of also a complex question, there are different understandings of the curator, curatorialship, let's say, because it's by default, it is understood as a person working in an institution like a museum or a gallery. And this is the person who, let's say, take care of the exhibition program of this institution. Working with the artists, organizing the exhibitions, also managing the whole process, working with some other people involved in this, etc. But I am not precisely this kind of curator. I'm more like what the independent curators do, because I'm more like freelance curator. In this understanding of my work. And I mentioned it a little bit earlier because in order to implement my projects, I have to start from really like creating the
concept, conceptualizing.
Yeah, the concept, the team. I mean, I pick up a team. Then I invite the artists, then we discuss with them the projects to be involved in this precise exhibition, festival, or other kind of project. Then it depends if this project is related with a new production or with selection of already existing works. It depends on how the process is implementing, and then we also work with the hosting space of presentation, whether it is a gallery or a museum, or many of my projects are also in public spaces, and I mean like outdoor urban areas, which is another very interesting process and very challenging and difficult one, because then you had a lot of coordination with the relevant institutions in order to get all the permissions to organize this process of exhibiting an artwork outdoor, because it's really much more even complicated rather than to present it in a gallery. So all these aspects, and many often I am also a PR. I mean, I'm creating the press releases, contacting the media, working with the journalists of, on reporting the event, and everything like this. Yes.
So it's very, very hands-on, and it essentially you're the one who pieces the whole thing together. So that's really, as an organizer,
absolutely,
and a
yes,
curator,
yes,
I get that. So I saw in your bio that you have co-authored some documentaries and films. Is that correct?
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
yes. Yes. It was. It was interesting experience for me with friends of mine who are Italian filmmakers, and it was curious how we start working together, because we met in Sofia with Nicola Zambelli and Fabio Ferrero are the names of these Italian filmmakers, and Fabio is more like a director though, and they were it was 2008 if I remember, 2007-2008, and they were based in Sofia at that time because we're participating in this kind of like Erasmus exchange.
Okay.
For academic students from one country to go to another one and to have this kind of another experience. So we met via friends of us that introduced us, and they were very interested in what I'm doing in with my colleagues in Interspace. So we were starting discussing this, and they helped me. Or offer me actually to help them with this film, documentary film they were planning to do in Sofia, and initial invitation, then I become like a co-author of the slot. I mean, we were so excited to work together. So I mean, initially they asked me to be more like an organizer or like a local producer, but eventually we end up like really like a team of three. Of us really like writing the script and deciding on the locations and the slot, I mean the people to invite and everything, like, I mean, it was really like a very collaborative work, and it was absolutely exciting to me because
so is it something
it's a totally new experience to me at that moment.
Yeah, but did you then follow up that exciting experience with another one, or that was
later on? Later on, Nicola Zambelli who came back to Sofia because they stayed like several months at that time. Later, Nicola came back, and then we worked with him on another film, a documentary on activism, which was part of a bigger project that was involved. One of these collaborative projects that Interspace was involved with other organizations from Europe, and it was funded by this Culture 2000 program at that time. Now it's Creative Europe, but this is the European Union program supporting cultural initiatives, and it's mostly in terms of collaborative projects of various cultural operators from different countries, and it was one of these projects, and it was a Romanian, American with Romanian origins who was working at that time on a very interesting research about activism in these ex-socialist countries, because the civic society was a new thing in this context, and she was in this NGO sector that was really rapidly appeared and became very active and very influential actually on the on the local context. So that's why she started researching this and doing this series of documentaries for Romania, Bulgaria, Croatia, if I'm not wrong. I mean, like different countries of this region. So she also wanted to do one in Bulgaria, and I was then also involved as an organizer and a co-producer, and Nicola was invited to be cinematographer,
So it's been really interesting talking to you, Galina, and just a little bit about Sofia for people who, you know, haven't really had an opportunity to go to Bulgaria. What's the weather like? What is probably the best time in the year to be a visitor to your beautiful country? What kind of, I'm sure there's a lot of history. So, outside of Sofia, if you could name a couple of places that would be interesting for visitors.
All right. It can be a lot talking about this, what Sofia is like and what you can see and experience. Because Sofia is a city with really long history. It was back in the Roman time, I mean, 5th century.
Yeah.
And this is really unique that you can see these different layers of the history still preserved and exhibited in the urban environment. And what is the best time of the year? Well, I think it's every time is interesting and nice to be experienced, but maybe springtime and summertime is best because you can stay longer, you know, outside and walk more. Other places, except the capital that's worth to be seen, is the city of Veliko Trnovo, which is the medieval capital. I mean, it was the capital of the Bulgarian kingdom, of the second Bulgarian kingdom, back in the 13th, 14th century. And so there is also a lot of history from that time that can be seen. And actually, the landscape is really amazing, and the very architectural and this urban structure of the city is totally unique and breathtaking. So it's really a nice place to be seen. Also, of course, Plovdiv, which is the second biggest city of the country. Again, a lot of history back from the Roman Empire till nowadays. And surely Varna and Burgas, which are the two big cities on the Black Sea coast. They're also very beautiful and very nice to be visited.
Nice. So thank you so much, Galina. So we got a little taste of, the art, the culture, and your contribution to, being a part of this change, your experience, a little bit on your experience in filmmaking, and also tips on the places to visit in your beautiful, beautiful country. So thank you so very much. And I really, really enjoyed listening to you, and I'm sure my viewers and listeners will also be able to absorb a lot of what you have talked about. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you also very much. It was a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you. Thank you, Galina. You have a good day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
For more weekly conversations, do listen to Melting Pot on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. Follow us on YouTube and on Instagram at Podcast Melting Pot. So until the next episode, this is Payal signing off.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.